Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High in studio with you this morning on this beautiful Friday morning. It's a little chilly out there, 36 degrees, but it's going to be really nice today as we get up into the mid-50s. In studio with me right now, as promised earlier, we have Representative Jim Kelly. Mr. Kelly, good morning. How are you doing?
Well, good morning. How are you? And it is a gorgeous day.
Absolutely.
Beautiful sunrise coming
up. Oh, yeah. And nice clear skies out there to check it out. So it's going to be a great day today. And coming into the studio, of course, we appreciate you coming in today. A few things you did want to talk about. Of course, you know, the legislative session starting here in just a couple of weeks on January 13th. But you wanted to talk about a few things. The first thing you wanted to talk about was a bill to pay for mental health.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I thought we'd just touch on. And this one, I don't have a lot of details on. It was just there was a news conference yesterday, and this bill was introduced by a Republican senator and a Democratic senator, and it is to deal with payments for treatment on individuals' mental health treatments that are a risk for suicide, and to provide so many days of inpatient care and then so many days of outpatient care. And so, I mean, suicide has become a big issue, not only in among school-age children, but amongst all ages. And so this is something to try to, I think, another avenue for mental health treatment to get some help before it becomes a suicide, when somebody notices, some tendencies, and then you try to deal with them. So I think that will get some attention, because that has been kind of forefront the last couple years.
Absolutely. I heard a report earlier, I think it was yesterday, that suicide is starting to go up in rural parts of America, and, you know, for farmers and stuff like that. So that stuff, we want to stop that before it actually happens, and get people the help they really do need.
Yes, that's true, and this may be a step to do that. So I'm sure the form that it was introduced in may not be the form that it could end up in, but I think it's a good start, and something that was pre-filed so it could right out of the gate come out and hit a committee.
Most things that are usually introduced usually don't look like they usually do when they first introduced, because, you know, obviously there's some changes that need to be made to some stuff, language and stuff like that. Another big thing that we've been hearing a lot about prior to this legislative session is Medicaid expansion.
Yeah, this year may be a year that there will be some serious discussion on Medicaid expansion. And we know in our area there's a lot of, talk about it, because we lost the hospital in Independence, and other smaller community hospitals are struggling, as are some other providers around the state. And it'll be interesting to watch, because one of the Republican senators introduced a plan, and it's a little bit more complicated, and it has some moving parts in it, like a work requirement and a kind of a where the premium payment, there is a small premium payment required by the insured. Then the Senate Democrats introduced a plan that's simpler and more in line with the plan that the House passed last year. And then the governor also has a plan. And so I think it'll be interesting to watch those debates take place, and they're going to probably start out in the Senate because the House has a plan, and then from there the possibility is, if something passes the Senate, it'll go to a House-Senate conference committee, and they'll get out the mixer and mix it all around and come up with a plan, and then come back, and then it would go for a conference committee approval in both House and Senate. So it could be a long process. I mean, I've heard that it's going to be one of the top things that they want to get going and for the work to start on, and not something that goes down to the end. So I think that will be one we'll have a lot of discussion on. And, of course, it'll pick up a lot of news coverage because it has an interest for it, and it has an interest that are against it. And it has, you know, broad I think it's an issue that is broadly spread across the state, where that is a issue that there are those that think it'll greatly help their community hospitals and care centers, and there are those that don't. But so that always leads to a lot of good debate.
Yeah, it does. And I kind of like the way you said that. I was kind of going to say it the same way. You know, the Senate has their own plan, the House has their own plan, and then they'll meet and just kind of mix it together. You'll end up with a little bit of both from each bill, what they get happy with, and then, of course, they'll go to a commission to iron out the details on it. Just one question. You were going back to the first question, and it's not really about the first question. For somebody that's not as inclined, you know, I'm not real sharp on a lot of the government stuff, but when something is pre-filed, what is that? Does that mean that's something that gets talked about, that is guaranteed to be talked about?
Well, it's not necessarily guaranteed to be talked about, but when it's pre-filed, that means that they have already put the bill in. It's going to have a bill number ahead of time, and what it does, it puts that bill out there so all the interested parties really can go and pull it and look at it and see what things are, you know, they like, they don't like, or there are changes they want to make. The odds are then that it will be assigned early to a committee. Generally, most bills, if you had a bill that you wanted to introduce, say like in the Financial Institutions Committee or Pensions, you would come to that committee, you would have it drawn up kind of, but you would introduce it, we would accept it, it then would get a bill number and then go through a process to be assigned back to that committee. So you have some delays, and this will probably speed it up and give people, interested folks, a time to look at it ahead of time. So
kind of like a chance to do their homework.
And, yes,
and
yeah.
That way it gets pushed through a little bit quicker. At least we get a better chance of getting some discussion
yeah.
on
yes.
it.
Yes, yeah.
The third thing you want to talk about some schools, some legislative post audits.
Yeah, and less than 2 weeks ago, I think, the legislative post audit, which is a auditing group within the state, and they have different legislators that could request an audit on something, some specific topic, and then the legislative post office, legislative audit, and other groups go and they pick some of those topics to be out for an audit. One of them this year was at-risk funding, and last year I think it was someplace just short of $500 million was funded for at-risk students to provide extra services, and the post-audit looked at, I'm not sure how far back they went, I mean, because some of that money would have just come on, but they looked at how money is being spent for at-risk students and came back with a conclusion that not all of the funds are being spent only on at-risk, but other students benefit some too. And so There's plenty of reasons that that's the case, because an at-risk student is in a classroom with all other types of students, and an at-risk student does not mean that they're behind the curve with other students. So there's plenty of reasons for it. There's plenty of reasons that there are legislators from around that say, no, we only wanted it for that, because that was kind of in the Supreme Court decision. So I think that will be a topic that will come up in the Education Committee and probably get a lot of discussion. And, it's pretty hard when you look at most school districts to, if you're doing something, one of the things that's done is to decrease class size. Okay, I mean, that benefits at-risk students. It also benefits students that are not classified at risk. And so it's sometimes in my mind, it's hard to say, well, so we just don't do that at all. We do something else. And that'll have a lot of discussion, and there's passionate people on both sides.
Absolutely. The fourth topic that we have here that you want to talk about, sales tax on internet sales, third-party sellers, digital media, so a few of those things.
Yeah, and, one of the things that the Supreme Court had a ruling, it was called the Wayfair decision, and on internet sales. And, if you buy something online, there's a number of retailers that you see Kansas sales tax is charged for, or they're collecting sales tax for whatever state the items are going into. But there are a number of third-party sellers that sell, like on Amazon, if you buy an item from them and Amazon is the one that handles the fulfillment of that sale, they are not necessarily collecting sales tax. So that's money that Kansas is losing, because if an individual would have gone into a local retailer and bought that same item, the city, the county, the state, and all would have benefited from some of the sales tax collections. Also, digital media, which would be downloaded music, downloaded books, whatever, is some states tax it, some don't. I mean, if you went in and bought that same book at a retailer, you would pay sales tax on it. So that's all money that the governor had a tax, kind of a tax commission that met, and that was one of their recommendations that we look at trying to capture some of those dollars, plus the dollars that the third-party sellers have. So, It turns into a, when you add everything all together, the ones that aren't having sales tax collected on, it adds into multi-millions. So
right.
that would be another assistance to the state of Kansas to have programs and support education or mental health or whatever. Just money flowing into the state. And then, they also came out with such things as there was a food tax sales tax credit that had been there in the past. That was that was stopped a number of years ago, of reviving that and providing a refundable amount to individuals in a defined income total. So, I mean, it wouldn't be for everyone, but it would be to help the ones that it would have a larger impact on. They also looked at or recommended revival of a program that provided some aid back to communities and all for property tax relief. Those were all programs that probably added together would use up probably about $115 million, something like that. So that extra sales tax money would be something that could go, you know, to offset some of that. So I think a lot of those will be talked about, plus the decoupling of Kansas from the federal income tax, so that some of the advantages of the federal income tax plan that provided tax cuts last year will be felt by Kansas residents on their state income tax. That will be talked about. It was talked about last year. There was a bill to do that. The governor vetoed it, and so I can see that that will probably come back this year for discussion, because basically took a lot of deductions away from Kansans.
Right, and I just got to thinking about you know, having to file my tax this year. It's going to be interesting, because I'm going to have to file, you know, federal, obviously, but I'm going to have to do it in two states. So yep. That's going to be interesting to do this year, to try to do that. So I may have to have some help with that. Mr. Kelly, I do appreciate you coming in today. A lot of things going on. Got the legislative session starting here in just 2 weeks, I do believe, on Monday. So it's about to really ramp up, is it not?
It is. The year has flown by, and I would like to wish everyone listening, you, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I mean, 2019 has flown by.
Absolutely.
And 2020 probably will too, but best wishes to everyone for this Christmas and New Year's season.
And you have a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year as well, sir.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we will have some Fox News at the top of the hour. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.